flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Balled Online. This is episode 134, man. Early edition this week because I will be going on a 24-hour sabbatical in San Diego where I'll be doing nothing but watching Padres baseball and getting extremely inebriated. So I wanted to make sure we still give y'all niggas the content. We are recording this on Wednesday night. Of course, you'll be hearing this on Thursday. Ignore the dumb niggas outside of my house who keep letting off fucking fireworks like fucking July 4th still isn't a month away. Can you fucking stop? It's very fucking annoying. But anyway, we are here. Crazy, crazy fucking day in the NBA, to say the least, man. It was literally crazy from 6 a.m. Pacific time. Like, the NBA news actually woke me up. I woke up this morning and, you know, usually I don't wake up in no damn 6 a.m. Pacific time, nigga. I went out to take a piss, and I looked at my phone, and it says Chris Paul in protocol, you know, his availability for the West Conference Finals in doubt. So I'm like, what the fuck? So as soon as I get that, I go use the bathroom. I come back. I see Kawhi Leonard out with a knee issue for game five. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And that was just one of the many things that are going on today. And then it came out later that Kawhi might have a torn ACL. Nothing's confirmed yet. And then we found out that Donnie Nelson got fired. And then we find out that Luka's not happy about this. Then Stan Van Gundy got fired. Scott Brooks got fired. The only good thing to really have is LaMelo Ball won the fucking Rookie of the Year, which, you know, shout out to him. Shout out to Melo. But there's a lot of things we can get to, man. But I want to start off with, you know, we're going to get into the other craziness, but I just want to start off with the two series we watched today. And we'll get to the Nets-Bucks series later in the pod. But let's start off with Hawks Sixers, man, because I can't believe what the fuck I witnessed today. Now, I'm going to give you the mic because you're finally coming to my side on Kangaroo Kid Gilchrist, a.k.a. Ben Simmons. So I'm going to give you the floor.
Yeah, dog. I mean, from what I saw, because, I mean, like I said, I had to apologize because, you know, game two, he took the assignment off the jump, defending Trey, you know what I'm saying, really changed the momentum in that game. But what we've seen these last two games from bro has been completely unacceptable. And I understand everything else he brings to the game. And that's cool in the regular season. You can float by on that in the regular season. But when it comes to playoff time and you need him to contribute offensively, he's not doing that. And it's getting worse and it's worse because you're wasting these amazing performances by Joel Embiid. I mean, bro, Joel Embiid had fucking, hold on, where's this shit at? The man had 37, 13, 5, 2 steals, 4 blocks. What did Ben Simmons give you? Bro had 8 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, a steal, and a block. You got to be fucking kidding me, bro. And the playoffs is not going to ride, and that's the problem, and that's why when you defend him and you say, oh, he does all X, Y, and Z, so amazing, which he does. G, I ain't gonna lie. I thought he should have been Defensive Player of the Year. But when you don't contribute at all offensively, when you aren't being a part of that, the people don't ever want to mention because he can't shoot free throws. So, bro, not trying to go to the free throw line. He's not trying to do that at all. And so you took 4 shots today, bro. Like, come the fuck on. And, like, at this point, I know Doc just got there, but his seat need to be hot. Like, let's be real, bro. Like, you can't keep doing this.
That was a vintage Doc Rivers collab.
Bruh, Kevin Garnett saved that man's career, bro.
Yes, Kevin Garnett and Tom Thibodeau.
This shit is a joke, G. I'm completely off the Ben Simmons, like, support train. Because at this point, it's like, bro, what the fuck do you do in the offseason, bro? It ain't play basketball, bro. It ain't try to get better at any aspect. Like, you just can't tell me that bro was in the gym trying to work on his game. It's not possible. It's not fucking possible. And so, like, for Philadelphia, the crazy thing is they can still, and they probably still should win this series. But after you collapse twice like that, now you got to come back to Atlanta. You know, you're going to have some Philadelphia fans, but there's actually going to be a pro-Atlanta crowd, I feel like, at this game 6. They in trouble, bro.
I think it's the funny thing is, man, it's just these three games that we've seen over these last 24 hours, man, with KD last night, with that Sixers collapse, and then what we just saw in Utah, man, playoff P finally fucking
finally arrived.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like it's I don't even know how to predict these series anymore. I can see all three of these shits going you know, different ways. And it's just really just showing you that this year's playoffs is you know, just the survival of the fittest, damn near. You know, it's really just, you know, who's going to be the last man standing. And it's actually kind of like a good segue. I want to talk about the injuries. We'll get into more in-depth, you know, analysis on these series later on. But let's talk about these injuries, man. Me and you said on this podcast over a year ago when the bubble started that shit should have never happened. It should have never been a bubble. Their niggas was money hungry, you know. And now we're seeing the fallout of it. And like I said on this podcast, I don't care what people say about what I'm saying on this. You can say, well, there's no asterisks. That's fine. I'm not counting nothing happening in that Orlando federal and you know experiment. That is basically what that government experiment. I'm not counting nothing in that. I'm like Stugatz. You know, Stugatz says Kevin Durant doesn't have any rings in his mind. In my mind, that shit never happened.
Yeah, that was a TV contract cash grab. That's all that was.
That's all that shit was.
We had to get these games off.
That's all that shit was.
What the great Michael Mack say? You know, chickens come home to roost. Right. This is what the fuck we told y'all was gonna happen, and this is what players who played and were in the fucking playoffs and only had a month rest all said. And so when you look at it, the playoffs are your grand stage. This is what you build up to all season. And you've gotten to the point where your stars are dropping like fucking flies. Because you had them playing this ridiculous ass schedule after, you know, half of your teams between the playoff teams and the teams that came to the play-in were down in Orlando still hooping. And so, and that's why, you know, I really think KD can carry, and we'll get into this later, but that's why I really think KD can carry the Nets is because bro had damn near 2 years off. You feel me? So, like, he's well-rested. But these other guys who, you know, had to continue playing, didn't get their normal rest, didn't get to let their bodies reset, and now you're seeing the ripple effect. And it's unfortunate because, and like, don't get me wrong, I don't want to see nobody get hurt, but it's a difference between the role player getting hurt and your superstars star getting hurt. And even with Bron and Kyrie, you know, spraining the ankles, that shit happens. So I'm not really blaming that on the schedule. But these other injuries, these ligament tears, these all this wild shit happening, it's definitely, you know, a reflection of the amount of mileage they put on their bodies this season. And I feel like Adam Silver, like, I mean, we talked about this earlier, and you know, we were texting about it, but like, we know, like, it's America, you know, you got to get your bread, but like, this is your product. Like, when it comes to sports in America, the players are your product. So that's why, like, you got to take care of them. And this is really a misstep by the NBA. So, I mean, if hopefully it's a partial tear, so he's not out as long, but.
Yeah, partial tears are probably in like 4 to 6 weeks. If it's a partial tear, if they make the finals, hopefully he'll be able to play in there. But and with the, you know, but before I get to the CP3 thing, I just want to say this about Adam Silver. He's a fucking war criminal. I saw Laker fans out there trying to get their little, this is the real asterisk season. Now, I'm not letting you get that off. I'm really not. I'm not letting you get that off. And I will say this about LeBron, even though he did say before the season, I give him credit, he did say before the season that they shouldn't have started so early. I'll give him that. With that being said, in the words of Joe Budden, you can't fool a real nigga. If the Lakers ain't get hurt, he wouldn't be tweeting none of that shit. if that nigga was still playing right now, we wouldn't see none of that shit. So I don't give me that. I tried to stand up for the players bullshit. Nigga, please. Like, I'm not folding for that. But what we're seeing is not only the effects of the bubble with you forcing them in that situation, which all the players, by the way, said the experience sucked. It felt like they're on fucking punishment, lockdown and shit. And then after the season, if you look at all the main players who got hurt, most of them were at least got to the Western Conference, into the conference finals, if I'm not mistaken. So if you won a championship or in the finals, bro, you only had like a month and a half break. And then now the season's going to start early again. The finals aren't going to wrap up till mid-July. And then training camp is in fucking September because they're going to get back to the regular 82-game schedule. And on top of that, some of these niggas is going to be playing in the Olympics. Whether the Olympics happen or not, we don't know. We know the whole situation with Japan and the COVID thing. We're not 100% sure it's going to happen. But if it does, that's even more stress to it. And we could have a situation next year where we could be doing the same thing. I hope not. But every year there's injuries. Every year there's injuries, even though this year feels a little bit more. But in the day, man, the healthiest team really always wins. Man. So I'm really not trying to hear none of that shit. Well, you know, whoever wins this year wins. You know what I'm saying? You know, crowds are back. You know, situations are back. You go out there, you still win that championship. You know what I'm saying? And if you know, to me, the if you're the Bucks and the fucking Sixers, I'm be real, you really don't have no excuses. Like, even with the Clippers, you know, you have no Kawhi. With the Nets, you have no Harden and Kyrie. Even with the Suns now, with the Chris Paul thing, the Bucks and Sixers, man, you're not going to get an opportunity like this again with all these different situations going right in your favor and you still fucking fuck up. It's just, you know, unexcusable. But, yeah, Adam Silver, this is what he wanted. He's on his real Vince McMahon shit right now. You know what I'm saying? It's just, if he dies, he dies. But let's talk about this Phoenix Suns thing. They had like a double thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about Chris Paul and, you know, alleged. I think one of the reporters from Phoenix Suns, one of the beat writers, said he tested positive. He is vaccinated. And I saw a lot of you dumb niggas. Yeah. Oh, well, he's still vaccinated. He got vaccinated. He still fucking got the Rona. I'm like, well, nigga, you know, you can, you know, women can still take birth control pills and still get fucking pregnant. Like, nothing is 100%, dumbass. But
just so he's not on a fucking ventilator.
Right, exactly. And it shouldn't even be that big of a fucking conversation. Like, you know what this shit is. Like, if you get the coronavirus after you have the vaccine, you're probably just going to have cold symptoms and you're going to have to be, you know, quarantined for a little bit. But it's not like, oh, you know, it's a life or death situation. So I don't even know why we're having this conversation. But I'm optimistic if I'm the Suns. I don't think his you know, quarantine is going to be that long. Now, he tested positive, so I might be wrong. But if you look at the way this Western Conference Finals is going right now, they're going to have a nice little amount of rest. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking even if it's normal quarantine, I don't know how long the quarantine is now for positive players. I got to look that up. But
yeah, especially for positive vaccinated players. Like,
right.
I'm sure it's like, because I remember with Zion, like, obviously he didn't test positive, but remember, he came back to the bubble and his quarantine was only 4 days because he had never tested positive.
Right.
So I'm sure it's something different for a fucking vaccinated player who's, I'm sure once the niggas, once he's asymptomatic and he's like not showing no symptoms, they fuck around, let him rock out.
I hope it's, you know, not more than like maybe a game. You know what I'm saying? If that, but let's talk about the Suns just in general, that dominance over Denver. We both picked Phoenix to win that series, but I didn't see them kicking their ass like that. Like, they have that glow right now.
Yeah. I mean, right now, that's really the storyline to watch outside of KD's comeback. When you really look at Chris Paul and everything he's been through in his career, and this really adds to that. It seems like every time, you know, because once they won, everybody's like, all right, they on fire. You know, this might be, you know, everybody else going down, even though this was pre-Kawhi news, but it's like, everybody else looking shaky. The Suns might really, you know, come take this and go to give him his opportunity to get a ring. But it's always some fluke shit that happened. But on the positive side, I think this is great because, you know, we talked about how they brought in Chris Paul to build on what they did in the bubble when they did that. And I think at this point, you can safely say they exceeded that because I'm sure, like, we expected them, like, I think in the beginning of the season, we picked them to be 3-4 seed. We didn't expect them to be a 2 seed.
Yeah.
So they exceeded everybody's expectations with that. And then you get to the Western Conference Finals, and, you know, you're legit a series away from going to compete for a title for the first time since, you know, 93. It's really, you know, people always try to say it's championship or bust, but I mean, for the Suns, this is an extremely successful season. And I think even if you lose in the Western Conference Finals, this is a successful season for that franchise.
For the franchise, yes. For Chris Paul, no. This is Chris Paul's last.
No, this is his last hurrah. Yeah, I agree 100%, nigga. Yeah.
This is CP3's last shot at it. You know what I'm saying? And somebody's like, man, CP3 got to get right with God. Everything going his way and some shit still comes up. You know what I'm saying? You done knocked out your friend LeBron. Y'all done made easy work of the fucking Nuggets. Kawhi's hurt now. Utah's looking beatable. Katie and Harden and Kyrie are hurt on the other end. Nobody's worried about Giannis. Embiid's hurt. Things are looking pretty good for this nigga. And it's like there's always something that fucking comes up. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I have a lot more respect for Chris Paul. I'm not going to sit up here and act like I like the nigga still. But, you know, it's fucked up. But it's funny, but it's fucked up. Like, you know, everything just keeps coming up for them. But Phoenix in general, man, this is it's a great season for them. And I didn't know how many fans Phoenix had. You know what I'm saying? With all those fans out there in Denver, it felt like a Phoenix home game. It was really good to see the crowd embrace them at the end. And then they landed in Phoenix. You know, I always say only small cities meet their team at the airport.
Yeah, you're not getting in the old hair like that, nigga.
You're not getting that with New York, Chicago, LA. Yeah. That's
not where the players at.
Like, right, yeah, that shit's not fucking happening. Good luck trying to get up to Van Nuys when the Lakers are coming
in. I'm not saying you might get lucky and run into a C-list celebrity in the Delta terminal at LAX. Right. That's about it.
Like, right.
Yeah, I ran into a fucking Morris Chestnut, nigga. Like shit like that. You're gonna run into people like that, nigga. Relax.
I'm trying to think of all the celebrities I've met at LAX, and most of them are C-list. Like, I think the biggest star I've seen in LA, I've met at LAX. Well, not met, I've met the nigga before, but like seen at LAX was Derrick Rose. Like, everybody else has been like, and like we getting on the same flight. I'm like, nigga.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Jermaine Dupri has been on a couple of my flights to LA.
That's hilarious.
Out of Atlanta, and fucking I randomly ran into Torrey Holt because I covered the Rams' first playoff game. You know, that was the first playoff game in LA in like 30 years or some shit. Something crazy.
Oh, you talking about like 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, when they played in the Coliseum.
Oh, okay.
When they played the Falcons.
When Ty Gurley's decline began?
Yeah, exactly. And so I flew out for that and I ran into bro in the airport. But like you said, it's never somebody, you know, crazy famous. It's always somebody like, oh shit, nigga, what are you doing?
Right, exactly. So you're not gonna see that, man. But it was just good to see that. But Phoenix, man, I this is the thing about layoffs. I feel like layoffs are good, but they're not. Like, of course, it's good to get your players rest time, but that thin line between rest and rust is real. And especially with, you know, I don't know how this Clippers Jazz series is gonna end. It might go six. It might go seven. If it ends in six, you're gonna get a beat up Clippers team. If it ends at seven, them niggas gonna be coming off, you know, 48 hours, you know what I'm saying, of no sleep, basically. So it's gonna be interesting to see. I just gotta give credit to that whole organization, man. It's fucked up because they got a terrible fucking owner, which most teams do, but still. Who's the Jackson, the GM? He's played the Heat.
I thought they fired Buddy.
They did?
I think they hired an assistant or something. You talking about James Jones?
James Jones, yeah, James Jones, yeah. He's still the general manager. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, shout out to James Jones.
As they call him Champ, James Jones. Shout out to him. Shout out to Monty. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to that coach, bro. I'm very happy for him. Anybody knows his story over the last couple of years, man. It's beautiful to see him doing good. And also, if you look at these. These semifinals, man, all these black coaches that left, you know, Monty, Doc Rivers, Nate McMillan, Ty Lue, it's pretty dope to see. You just gotta be happy for the organization, and this is like a real foundation, you know, for the rest, like you said, for the rest of the franchise. It's whatever happens, it was a great year. But for Chris Paul, you know, he's gonna do everything he can, especially as the president of the Players Association. He's going to flex any power he has to try to get on that course. I'm really interested to see how that's going to move on. Let's talk about some of the other news that happened today, man. Let's talk about Donnie Nelson getting fired. This whole little situation in Dallas is kind of weird to me. You know, Mark Cuban coming out a couple of days ago saying there was nothing going on in the organization. And now Donnie Nelson, they mutually agreed to part ways after 24 years with the organization. He drafted Dirk. He helped draft Dirk and he drafted Luka. And allegedly, Mark Spears says that Luka is not happy about it. And Luka's supposed to be talking about it tomorrow or today, Thursday, talking about it and, you know, giving his comments on it. And, you know, there's news. Oh, he doesn't want to sign it. He's not sure if he wants to sign a contract extension. When you're on a rookie contract, there's really not too much you can do. Like, you know, because you're going to sign that extension. You're not going to turn down that money. And you know, it's not really like a situation that he can leave. until they got like a year or two left on their rookie deal.
Yeah.
And that's really when that type of situation has. And I just can't see Mark Cuban getting making this situation any more messy, because that's just not Cuban rules.
Yeah. I think if the players were smart in the next CBA, similar to how they negotiated the Derrick Rose deal, where if you outperform your rookie deal, you can, you know, qualify for more of the max.
Yeah.
If you outperform that bitch, you should be able to be an unrestricted free agent. Right.
I agree with that. I don't like restricted free agency.
Yeah, that should be another stipulation. They need to try to remove that altogether, but they should definitely, I think, add that rule in there. But my bad. I agree 100%, bro. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I like the Lucas having a voice, and I feel like more superstars should be able to have a voice. But, you know, one thing I'll say about Mark Cuban, we can say whatever you want about Mark Cuban, I think you can say he's a player's owner. You know what I'm saying? Like, he looks out for the players. Even anybody who's played with the Mavericks said that they have some of the best, you know, amenities there for players. So I'm not really, if I'm a Dallas Maverick fan, I wouldn't really be worried about that. Only thing I'll be worried about is Porzingis coming back. But
Cuban's he's your first real, you know, I ain't going to say millennial, but young, hip, billionaire owner, you know, in the league. So, yes. Like, he's always done that with Dallas. And I remember when they first opened American Airlines Arena, they were talking about how crazy their locker rooms were. And they were one of the first, you know, NBA teams with that type of shit. And so, yeah, Cuban's going, he's going to take care of his players, but we also have to acknowledge the fact that he's missed on a lot of people that he's given a lot of money to.
Oh, for
and
sure.
So, in order to keep Luka, I think that is going to – he's going to have to switch that. But, Mark Spears is, you know, a legend.
Yeah, Mark Spears is usually
his word is solid. So,
yeah.
But I still want to see what Luka said in his press conference. Because, I mean, the press conference is for, you know, he's trying to get Slovenia to the Olympics for the first time. Yeah. So, yeah. He's been focused on that. So, we'll see. But, like you said, with the fact that Don Nelson drafted Dirk and drafted Luka, it's like those connections, and, you know, people kind of underestimate, similar to how when Brad Stevens got his promotion, it's like, it's the connection, it's the relationships you develop. So if Luka's really pissed about that, then that's something they're definitely gonna have to take care of, because the last thing you want is him to be on some, yeah, I'm gonna sign a Supermax, but trade me. Like, that's right. That's the last thing you need.
Don't want that drama. On a side note, I think they said Mark Cuban still wants to get back into the MLB. I would love nothing more than Mark Cuban to buy the Chicago White Sox. Nigga, that would be fucking amazing. I have a non-cheap owner. I can dream. Probably not going to happen, but I can dream. Remember, didn't he try to buy the Cubs and the MLB owner was like, get the fuck out of here?
Yeah, they was like, nigga, no.
Right. We're not having you into this old boys club here. Yeah. And fuck up the integrity of Major League Baseball. But
they met in the fucking rickets, which is
nigga. Well, you know, they're not loud. They're not loud like Mark Cuban.
Yeah. We like our racist quiet.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Donnie Nelson was not the only person fired there. We had two other firers. Stan Van Gundy fired. I will say this thing about the Stan Van Gundy situation. I thought it was a good signing last year. I was obviously fucking wrong. I thought that, you know, his type of style would be good for the Pelicans, but obviously this nigga just didn't connect with young players, and you know, it didn't work out for Zion. They had too much young talent to underachieve the way they did. And I saw something funny where it said, like, part of the reason he got let go is because he's playing Eric Bledsoe too many damn minutes, which was fucking hilarious. But I also gotta give credit to the Pelicans for nipping in the bud right away, you know, for getting rid of him, even though it was only 1 year in this deal. So
yeah, because I mean, he really was a bad fit when you got a young team that, you know, should be out there running and gunning, you know what I'm saying? He was really trying to slow it down to run a half-court offense and shit like that. Like you said, giving Eric Bledsoe a lot of minutes. And, you know, Lonzo Ball quietly had a very solid season this year. But, you know, they had their back and forth. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, he just wasn't a good fit for that roster, like you said. So my main concern is this is now going to be the, you know, third coach in 3 years. Yes. Yeah. That's not good.
Ask Zach LaVine how he feels about that.
Yeah, like, you know, you want to bring stability to that organization and to Zion and really build around them. And so you keep flip-flopping coaches like this. Hopefully, you know, they bring somebody good in there.
Yeah. So do you have, like, any idea of any candidates you'd want to see?
Nah, because I'd be wrong as fuck when it comes to head coaching. Like, I'm not even going to lie and sit here and try. And especially now because you got, you know, the wild cards like, you know, Becky Hammons and Dawn Staley, you know. I think you
I
know,
would love to see one of those women get a chance.
Yeah, I would love to see Dawn Staley get a gig, G. I've been a Dawn Staley fan for so fucking long, like, since she was on Martin. Like, I've been a fan of Shorty for forever, but I can't even call her Shorty. She's grown as hell. But
she's a grown.
No disrespect at all to the legend.
She's right. More auntie. She's in the auntie category.
Right.
Now.
No disrespect to the legend, but no, that's, you know, these wild cards now. So it's really going to be interesting to see how the coaching carousel goes this time. So I ain't even going to sit here and lie and, you know, say I got an idea who should be down there with them.
But you know what's fun? It's an interesting question too, because I always want to know, like, you know, we see the progression in sports. We see some progression in sports when it comes to women getting more opportunities. But how do you think a woman head coach would like handle, like, how do you think the locker room would, you know, respond to that? That's an interesting question. All players ain't progressive. You know what I'm saying? Like, how would that go over? Is a huge thing I want to know.
I mean, all players ain't progressive, but I also feel like at the same time, when you look at Becky Hammons, Dawn Staley, these are accomplished hoopers as well. And one thing we've always seen when it comes to women's basketball is rarely the men hoopers who are disrespecting them. You know what I'm saying? It's usually the niggas who can't hoop.
Right.
Or people who just, you know, don't want to see women's basketball. But so I think from a respect factor, their resumes will bring that with it. And so I feel like as long as it's a qualified candidate, as long as it's not something that's like clearly a publicity stunt where they're like, they've set this woman up to fail and it's just to like sell tickets or whatever, unless it's a situation like that, I think the respect will come because like you said, you're talking about Becky Hammons and, you know, Dawn Staley, and those are some of the few women, because we know how the coverage has been over the years. It's improving, but we know how it's been. Like, dude, those are two women that, you know, their names hold weight in basketball circles, period. Like, you say them names, you know who the fuck they are.
That's a good point. And also, I feel like those are also two women with like their personalities. It's not like pushovers, you know, especially Dawn Staley. Like, she's not gonna go for no fucking bullshit. And I feel like Becky Hammond's the same way, she's just more quiet about it. Like, more, you know, she's got the more pop. You can tell she's been in Pop's coaching staff, you know what I'm saying? And
that Pop cosign gonna get her somewhere though.
Yeah,
definitely. They got fucking Jim Boyle in the job, like. That Pop cosign is definitely gonna get us someone.
So yeah, I mean, I hope one of them get the opportunity. It'd be dope to see, you know. So shout out to those women, man. I'm really excited to see what happens there. Now let's get to the last firing. Scott Brooks was fired, and this was kind of funny to me because one, Scott Brooks to me is one of the most, he's a terrible coach in my personal opinion. I blame him. He's one of the reasons I blame that KD, Harden, Russ trio not getting a championship. But when they said they didn't come to agreement, I'm like, Washington didn't want to bring that nigga back any fucking way. Hey, let's just cut the shit. And with that, it's like every other coaching situation. Like, I don't know what coach would fit in Washington. Like, if I'm Washington, honestly, I would fucking rebuild. You're not winning anything with Russ and Bill, nigga. Y'all, if there wasn't a play-in, y'all niggas wouldn't have got in. Like, y'all was like 5 or 6 games under 500. It's not a good roster. You know, I would start from scratch. I would send Bill to where he wants to be sent. I would cut ties with Russ, you know, maybe do a buyout or some shit like that, and keep fucking pushing. Tank, get you a pick and start over, because I don't see what the future is in Washington. Like, I would get you a young coach and just start the coach all over.
No, I agree 100%. It's time to go hit the reset button on that shit. It's really just ran its course. And so my whole thing is the Russ contract is going to be hard to move, because with John Wall, it was really a one-for-one type of situation, so there really wasn't no issue with that. So that's going to be a little difficult to move, but I think if anything, you got to try to get as much as you can from Bradley Beal, because at the end of the day, when he is a free agent, he's going to walk. He's definitely not going to re-sign, because you haven't shown him any signs of an ability to bring people in around him. I know the John Wall injury is unfortunate, but it's kind of like with the Bulls, dude. You went into a situation where you can't keep telling me, oh, somebody got hurt. Well,
yeah.
We had your sidekick, but, you know, we went down. Like,
Bulls used that excuse for way too fucking long.
They used it for damn near a decade. Yeah. But you really have to pivot away from that shit. And that's what the best GMs do. And so I think this is definitely a situation where it's run its course. So, like, I agree. It's time to blow it up.
Blow that thing up, man. We don't want to see this shit no more. And, yeah, man, let's go on to the rest of these series. Well, later on in the show, we can break down the all-NBA teams. There's some very interesting selections on there. You know, I kind of had a problem with a couple.
A little favoritism.
Yeah, a little favoritism. Let's start off with, of course, we talked about Hawks and Sixers a little bit, but this upcoming, like, for the rest of the series. So now Atlanta's heading home. It's going to be a nice little crowd out there with a chance to clinch. This will be their first Eastern Conference final. I forgot they made the final in 2015. Everybody forget about that fucking team because it was, you know, it was just a boring ass team.
Coach Bud, we guess. They weren't boring, but I mean, it was a typical Coach Bud team. No adjustments. Jeff T. They got their ass smoked.
Jeff T. Al Horford, Paul Millsap. That's boring.
That was that year how Cal Corbin went crazy.
That's a boring ass.
He went berserk. And they, I think they, didn't they still have ISO Joe?
I don't think he was still there, was he?
That might have been like the last year ISO Joe. If he wasn't there,
I think he was gone.
But Cal Korver
was in Brooklyn. He was in Brooklyn. If I'm not mistaken.
Cal Korver went berserk that year. I remember that year. They was calling that nigga Threesus. So that was the same year that Yeezus came out.
But what annoyed me about that season was if the NBA referees would actually call a technical on David Blatt like they fucking should have, the Bulls would have won that series against the Cavaliers and we'd have beat the shit out the Hawks. And I don't know if we'd have beat Golden State, but I do think we'd have gave Golden State a nice little fight. I could have seen that series going seven. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's the thing that annoys me the most when I think about that season. But I was going to completely ignore that and be like, oh, this is the first time that the Hawks been to the East Conference Finals since, what, 1997 when they lost to the Bulls with Jordan and Mike and them. I mean, Jordan and Mike. With Jordan and Pippen and them. But this will be a big test for them. Can they close on the road? And it's just something I've seen from Philly is – these second halves are terrible. They're terrible. Like, you can't have only two players score in the second half today. Seth Curry and Embiid. And also at the end of games, where the fuck is Embiid at? Like, I know you hurt, but this is a disappearing act. He missed two free throws tonight. Two clutch free throws. And it's like every time that you think they're going to put Atlanta away, Atlanta just keeps fucking coming back. And, you know, you got to give credit to Trae Young because they've really been playing him well. I think they defended him way better than the Knicks did, and he's still out there making fucking plays, man, and everybody is getting involved. But it's kind of like what you said. I liked your tweet that you had today about every time Knicks fans and Knicks fans got to shut the fuck up. You niggas lost.
Yeah,
like,
over,
shut the
bro.
Fuck up, bro.
It's over. Go to the Rucker or something.
Man. Right, nigga. Or go to Brooklyn and watch a good team. Like, it's let it go.
That's always an option.
That's always an option. Hop on the train, go to Barclays, watch some good basketball. You know, it's just annoying. So it's like every time you see them, it's like they rise from the ashes and come back. But this is going to be a big test for a young team because the pressure's not on them. The pressure's still on Philadelphia. They're the number one overall seed. You can't be out here, you know, losing to a team, honestly, without two of their best players still. Like DeAndre Hunter's not playing. We haven't seen Cam Reddish all playoffs.
They're both done.
And you can't allow this to happen. And also, if you're Doc Rivers, you could come off another catastrophic collapse. We saw what happened last year in that government experiment, but you can't allow this shit to happen either. So the pressure's on Philly, but I really want to know if this young team can close the door and officially close the casket.
This is my thing. The fact that there's no pressure on Atlanta and they at home, they fuck around, throw them MLK jerseys on and smack Philly.
Oh, DeAndre Hunter said he tweeted MLK jerseys on Friday.
They don't lose in those jerseys. That's when they just don't realize. But gee, they really like I said, it's no pressure on them. You the 5 seed. Everybody expected. Most people picked you to lose in 5. Thought you were gonna, you know, gentleman sweep. And here you are with the opportunity to clinch this shit. And I mean, I ain't gonna pick them because, like I said, I still think I still think the 76ers have the talent to win this, and they should win this series. But I mean, if I keep seeing this, your man Ben Simmons, like, bro, that man got to do something. you got to do something, bro.
You got to do something, baby.
You got to do fucking something. Tobias Harris had it. This is really Tobias. Also, I will say, also have hope for Philly because this was Tobias Harris's first real bad game in the playoffs. Bro was 2-for-11 tonight.
Hey man, what I say? 40-degree day.
Even still though, 2-for-11.
40-degree day, dog. For the, yeah. Look, time is.
He's eventually not going 2-for-11 in game six. He's not. I guarantee it. I guarantee that he's not.
Well, he's not going to shoot that bad, but I don't know if he's going to be great.
Yeah, and I don't, I'm not saying he'll affect the game that much, but he has to because Ben Simmons damn sure ain't.
Yeah, I, like I said, I'm going to. I don't know how to pick this series, but I feel like you guys listen to us to at least give predictions. So I'm gonna just go out there and say I'm going to pick. I think the Hawks get it done. I think the Hawks get it done on Friday. I think they will advance to the conference finals. And this has been a hell of a redemption. I won't say redemption arc, but basically telling niggas, including me, because I was doubting them coming to the playoffs too. Trae Young telling niggas to shut the fuck up. Like, you know, with all the Luka comparisons, and he is one win away from making his first conference final before Luka even got out the first round. So, you know, it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be a great game, but I think I'm going to pick Atlanta. I'm picking Atlanta on Friday, man. And shout out to Quavo. He's the new Spike Lee. I really enjoyed him courtside of this game.
Yeah, no, bro. I definitely agree. We all got to apologize to Trae because I wasn't one of the main ones, you know what I'm saying? I really didn't fuck with him. And, you know, I still don't like all some of the.
I still don't really like how he plays sometimes.
But I mean, it, my whole thing with the whole foul baiting and flopping and all that shit, the issue isn't so much the players. It's the fact that the refs accept that shit and reward it. Like,
yeah.
If the refs stopped giving these niggas fouls on bullshit, they wouldn't do it.
Like, well, the NBA out. Put that new rule they're going to be putting into effect next season.
That shit sounds good. How that works. That shit sounds good. But they also said that they were going to stop giving people fouls on three-pointers when they bump into people, kick their legs out, do all type of silly shit. But they still give them those fouls. So, I mean, anytime these leagues talk about, you know, reprimanding, officiating, nigga, I believe it when I see it. You watched the White Sox game today. The motherfucker was throwing the ball in the other batter's box. They was calling strikes. Like,
man,
officials get a pass that other people in other professions do not get. Like, they would be unemployed.
And on top of that, they don't have to answer for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's annoying, especially in Major League Baseball. We know how your boy gets down, who I hate almost as much as you now. Rob Manfred is a complete fucking idiot. They need to get a nigga who actually played the game in there.
I mean, it would make sense. You know,
like, it's just, this is such a.
Other former commissioners were like baseball lifers. And like, you know.
Right. Like, it's just so fucking dumb. We're not going to get into that. But yeah, man. So you got Hawks. Well, you know, at least just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I live here. Fuck it. The Hawks don't close this bitch out.
Okay.
They're going to get it done.
All right. Let's get into the other game we watched tonight. Clippers, Jazz, man. Paul fucking George. I got to give it up for him. We slandered that man. I've slandered that man on this podcast. We slandered him on Twitter. He's one of the most slandered people on the internet. Everybody was foaming at the mouth for the PG slander tonight. And boy, did he shut niggas the fuck up. Let's take a look at his box score here as I, you know, wait for this NBA app to load. All right, here we go.
I got it right here.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
Bro, at 37 points, 16 rebounds. 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks.
That's fucking crazy.
Went fucking insane. He did exactly what he needed to do. He has to carry the team with KD out. And, like, you know, he gets a lot of slander, but at the same time, I feel like once Kawhi got hurt, people were going, like, dial it back and be like, oh, well. But, like, no. Let's not forget who y'all said this man was.
NBA,
like,
Twitter don't give a fuck about this.
We got to put the heat on, bro, like we do anybody else when it's time to step up in a big moment. And so he did that tonight. And, you know, even in the series as a whole, he's averaging 27 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. So Paul is doing his part. And so you had a big game from Reggie Jackson. And
Reggie Jackson, dog. Reggie Jackson, I don't even know what to fucking say about Reggie. Reggie just out there.
And Marcus Morris, G.
And the good Morris. Good Morris showed up big time today. You know, Reggie Jackson was kind of out there like that Thanos at the end of Age of Ultron. Like, fine, I'll do it myself. Because even towards the end of fourth quarter, you could tell PG was getting exhausted. You know, he was getting exhausted. I like how at the end, he got enough energy, make plays, get to the free throw line. Which, when you're in the bonus, get to the fucking basket, man. Yeah. If somebody touches you, you're going to get to the fucking free throw line. So, the Clippers, big, big, big win for them. And I think the thing that's so frustrating about PG is he's capable of doing this all the time.
Yeah, 100%. You
know, he's capable of doing it all the time. And we forget how good he was pre-leg injury in Indiana, you know, in those early series with the Heat. And it's like he kind of like dialed the clock back tonight. And I think that was cool. This is easily by far, if you know the history of that shitty franchise, by far the biggest win in the history of that franchise.
Hell yeah. And I think for Paul, with Kawhi out, he has an opportunity to really probably expand his game. Because like one thing we both talked about is they really are like, I ain't going to say a mirror image. Paul is much smoother, but they do the same shit. So it's like a lot of times they take turns cooking. It's not really a connection or a flow like it was with Bron and D-Wade and, you know, other tandems like that. And so with Kawhi out, you know, for possibly an extended period of time, Paul has the perfect opportunity to be that guy and, you know, back up all the talk he had before the season. Because, you know, he was the first one throwing Doc under the bus, blaming him for their struggles. And we've seen them blow lead after lead, but, you know, they held on today and got the job done. So we'll see what happens going forward. But it was a huge game for Paul George and a really big step for the Clippers. Because, you know, we all know whoever wins game five usually wins game six. Like that's usually how it goes.
That's what the stats show.
It was like 83% or some. It was crazy high.
It's a huge percentage. And I think you brought up a good point about how him and Kawhi meshed. Like, I think when we saw Paul George being so great tonight because he's playing his original position, you know, and not force this nigga to play the two. And I think that really, really helped to free them up. But we got to talk about Utah, though. Like, Donovan is my dog, but boy, he was shooting some bull shit tonight. You know, and I know the ankles probably bothered, but that ain't no excuse for shitty shot attempts, bro. Like, some of the threes was like, what the fuck? Rudy Gobert. I'm not a Rudy Gobert fan, obviously. I just, you know, he got dunked on by Terrence, man. And, you know, at the end of the game, I was just like, nigga, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I feel like it would have been an ass kicking if Bogdanovich didn't go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
He had like 30-some points.
Yeah, 32.
And if you're the Jazz, you've now lost three in a row. You've lost three games in a row. Like, where do you go from here?
Bro, I mean, they're probably shell-shocked right now. Like,
yeah. You know,
not only being shell shocked, but Donovan being hurt definitely don't help that shit. But it's tough because you lost this game and you're not gonna get 32 from Bogdanovich again.
No, definitely not on the road.
Bro was 10 of 20. He shot 17 threes.
Yes.
Donovan Mitchell shot 14 threes. He only hit four of them bitches. And that's my issue. And you know, obviously the injury played a factor, so I didn't expect him to be as aggressive on the drive, but shoot the mid-range, bro. Like, one thing I did like even with Trey tonight, like, he was driving and pulling up on motherfuckers. Like, when your team needs a bucket, especially when they're late, like you said, a couple of those late threes he took that hit all back iron, it's like, bro, come the fuck
bro, off. It sounded like nukes going off that. In that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It sounded like fucking nukes. But, and that's another thing was, like, the pressure's off on the Clippers, too, I feel like. Clippers are playing with house money with no Kawhi. They're playing with house money, and it's something that nobody's talking about now. LA just opened up today, baby, or yesterday. So Staples Center is going to be 100% packed. No more fucking cardboard cut-ups on Friday. It's going to be cracking in LA Live. Now, of course, it's not going to be Laker cracking, obviously, but niggas will still go to a playoff game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it'll still be a nice crowd. Even during the Live City days, they had nice crowds. So this is going to be a big game. It's going to be a nice crowd. The thing about Friday is I'm kind of upset that I'm going to miss all these games because I'm going to be fucking blasted out of my fucking mind Friday night. On top of it being I'm going to be out of town, do you know they're having a beer festival at Petco Park?
Oh, nigga.
And not only that, this is the first Padre game in full capacity all year.
You about to be in IPA heaven, nigga.
Boy, who you telling?
And everywhere.
And I'm be with Damien, that fucking degenerate. Like, it's going to be
old military niggas don't have a cover, bro. Like, no. my brother, a Marine, bro. It's 7 a.m. He passing me shots. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
When,
like,
I went to Angels Dodgers with this nigga last month, I was drinking tequila at 10 a.m. in the morning with this nigga. And that was a long fucking day. So,
like, nigga, eat breakfast. Like, what are you, like, get this away from me. What are you doing?
Right. But with this series, I'm going to go the other end. I think the Jazz are going to win on Friday. I just don't trust the Clippers enough to close that at home. I just don't. I would love to see PG shut anybody the fuck up and close the series out by himself. I would love to see it. But I think Utah wins a very, very close one. Very, very close.
No, I think this one is over.
You think it's a wrap too?
I think they really about to crumble. I think they finna just go out four straight. Like, I really think this joint is over. Donovan, he's still hurt. Like, we don't know how he'll be on Friday. You know, obviously he'll have a couple of days, but he does have to travel now. It ain't like the bubble where, you know, you just hopped in your cart and went back to your room. So we have to see how that, you know, that ankle feels after a flight, you know,
that's treatment, that's a good point.
Everything like that.
That's a good point.
But I think the Clippers are actually get this done. Yeah, I think the Clippers are done.
We have some CP3 update news. So if Chris Paul tests negative twice in the next 24 hours, he'll do another test and he'll be potentially able to clear to play.
Bad.
That's going to be something to monitor over the weekend. Now let's get to the last series. Nets-Bucks, man. Look, there's a couple things that stood out to me about this game and just the shit building up to it. But first of all, Kyrie Irving's injury. You know, we didn't get to talk about that because it happened over the weekend. Kyrie Irving's injury, he sprained the fuck out of that ankle, bro. Like, I knew as soon as he fell, oh, that nigga's cooked. And he said he's out for the series. Now, if they win, I'm not – especially when we got Harden out there playing with, you know, a pulled pork-ass hamstring. I'm not going to rule Kyrie out, especially when we've seen this year that, you know, players are playing on injuries we didn't think they could play on. But there was a lot of bullshit narratives coming out this week. Can KD carry a team by himself? Legacy game. There's no such thing as a legacy game for a two-time NBA champion. It's the same thing with LeBron. Like I said, I wanted LeBron to step up and put the team on his back. But LeBron's legacy cemented. Now, that was not – LeBron's legacy didn't change from what happened in week one. He's a fucking four-time champion, 3.5 in my head, but whatever. Four-time champion. You know what I'm saying? So there's nothing for him to prove. There's nothing for KD to prove. He all the talking heads are Shannon Sharp. Well, can he do it? And for him to go out there and have just a fucking insane fucking game, man. It, to me, I don't know if I'll say it's his best performance, because we can't forget about how great he was in those two NBA finals. But 49, 17, and 10 is fucking crazy.
Nah, bro, this is best performance. This is the best performance of Kevin Durant you've ever seen in your life. And in my opinion, this is easily top, probably top three, top five, top three playoff performance we ever seen.
Oh, ever? Okay.
The man didn't sit down once, you feel me? He played every minute of this key. Fucking game.
Yeah, coming off injury,
shot 69% from the field. You know, they throwing all type of different schemes at him. PJ Tucker hacking the shit out of him, and the man went out there and went berserk. And like you said, everybody was hedging their bets before the game, saying shit that they thought he wasn't gonna do. So when he did do it, they could be. It went so if he didn't do it, they could be that. See, I told you he ain't like LeBron. He ain't this. He ain't that. But he showed people once again, and I said this when he was hurt, like, I think y'all are just really forgetting how unstoppable this motherfucker is.
Yeah.
Say what you want about him going to Golden State, but when it comes to playing the game of basketball, you don't stop Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has off nights. So, like, I don't want to hear shit about, oh, when they was in Milwaukee, they was locked. No, they weren't. He had off shooting nights. The bulk, like you said, like, all nine of the shots he shot in the fourth quarter were contested.
And he was cooking. And there's nothing you can do about that. It's hand down, man down.
It's nothing you could do, bro. So
and I would say this about Harden. I gotta give it to Harden. We all know how I was not a Harden fan until this year. You know, and it's kind of funny because I did like a 180. I was pro Giannis up until last year. I got off the Giannis train at the right time. I was like, I had enough. And then it's like I switched. I became a Harden guy. And so to see him go out there, and I know his hamstring was on fire, and just even though he, you know, he had no lift, his shot had no lift. I think he only had like 5 points, and I think all of them came at the free throw line. Just to see him out there was gutsy, maybe dumb, but gutsy performance, and really just him being out there to help facilitate the offense is really helps them a lot. And the most disrespectful thing out of the whole fucking night. Because he's guarding Giannis.
I already know what you're about to say.
And niggas is kind of come for a double. He like, no, I got it.
No. He ain't got him, but he not built like that.
Relax. Oh, one leg, bro.
Yeah. But, I mean, James Harden, I know Pabby say this all the time. Y'all call bullshit, but it's true. James Harden, he's not a terrible one-on-one defender. You know, he has the size, he has the length. But you don't expect him to literally call off the double. Like, nah, I'm about to lock this nigga up.
and he actually did it. But like you said, he had 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Really, you know, really went out there, and you know, I thought he was going to play decoy, but I mean, he did attempt, you know, to do some things. He was 1 of 10 from the field, and 0 for 8 from 3. But you saw, like you mentioned, a lot of the shots were short, so you know, that's screaming, you know, his legs not under him. So
yeah.
I want to see how he reacts to these two, to, you know, to the days off and how he performs tomorrow.
That's a good point, because that he nigga, might be better.
I'm saying, if that nigga hits a couple more shots, it's a wrap for Milwaukee.
This thing about Milwaukee, first of all, Coach Bud is one of the worst. He's the white Doc Rivers.
I was just about to say, they the same nigga. Right. That Spider-Man meme. Right. One nigga was Spider-Man, the other nigga was Venom. That's Doc Rivers and fucking Mike Budenholzer. They the same person.
That's the white Doc Rivers, dog. He got out-coached like a motherfucker. You should never get out-coached by Steve Nash, the vibe curator. The vibe curator. It should never happen. And Giannis, dog, let's think about Giannis, bro. He don't have a bag, G, and it's just so fucking annoying. The pressure should not be on Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday at the end of games. You're the two-time MVP, and you're the defensive player of the year. You're not finna go check KD? Even if you get flame broiled, check the nigga. Yeah. And every NBA player that was watching the game saw this. You saw Draymond's tweets. You saw Ja Morant. And then you go on a podium mid-series and say, he's the best player in the game. What the fuck are you doing? Like, dude, it's mid-series. Shut the fuck up. And it's just everything about that dude annoys me. And it's setting up why he's finna be my new nemesis when 6 was new number 6.
Yeah. The shit with Giannis, and like you said, it's offensively, like, because you talking about a dude who had, I think he had like 34 or something crazy like that. He still had a quote unquote, you know, good game, shot 63% from the field. But when you sit there and when you see when his first move wouldn't work, bro would just back up and then just run full speed at niggas. Like, that's his move. Like, running. If he's not moving downhill,
HB dive from Martin. I mean, not from Madden.
if he's not running downfield, it's a fucking down court. It's a fucking issue. And so, once again, can we talk about Ben Simmons, you know, his limits on offense, that you can let that shit slide in the playoffs. Like, prime example, I mean, in the regular season, if they were playing fucking Charlotte or Indiana or something like that, then Giannis this is a great game for him and nobody's complaining. But in the playoffs, in these key moments, kind of like how you need critical stops, key stops on defense, it's going to be possessions where you need to just go get a bucket. And we saw KD do that all night, whenever he wanted to, whenever his team needed it. We saw fucking Jeff Green had an out-of-body experience. You know,
Jeff Green.
I seen a nigga say, Jeff Green either play like Michael Jordan or he play like Jeff Green. Like,
That's the best description of Jeff Green.
Either this nigga's going to be amazing or he's going to give you 6 points and 5 fouls. But he went crazy. But I mean, you got to be able to step up in those moments. And I agree. And we always talk about how much Chris Middleton is paid and how much what he should and shouldn't do. But in those moments, Giannis, you got to go do that. And like, I give him somewhat of a pass on the defensive side just off the strength that, yeah, he's defensive player of the year. But like we've been saying, if you watch the Bucks play, bro plays help side defense. He can defend on the switch and a pinch, but his lateral quickness ain't the same as an elite perimeter defender to where he could go out there and ISO on KD because he can get his ass cooked, and he knows that. Like, this ain't the All-Star game where you may get a couple quick blocks or whatever when y'all just sitting there playing park basketball. In a playoff situation, even though he did say that in the press conference, they took that quote, but they didn't say when he said he wants to guard him more. Bud ain't no dummy. Bud knows if he puts some ISO on KD, it's gonna be a long night for that nigga. And then he's gonna be tired on defense, which means he ain't gonna be able to run head first into everybody on offense, and then they really gonna be done.
I think the question here is, where does Milwaukee go from here? Because I'm just telling y'all right now, I'm picking the Nets in game 6. I'm picking the next game. I think they're going to get it done. I think, you know, KD has it going. I think Harden's going to be better. I think Harden's going to have a much better game. And I'm telling you who my X Factor is going to be on Friday night or tomorrow night. Actually, tonight, actually. It's Thursday. Tonight. I think Joe Harris is finally going to get off that milk carton. You can't hold a shooter like him down for too long. He hasn't had a good game since game 2. I think he's going to have a good game. And I just don't trust Milwaukee. I just don't trust fucking Milwaukee. And now all the pressure's on them again. They're going to be at home. And I feel like they got him right where they want him. And I really feel like we're going to have, I think Harden's going to have a big game. I think he's going to hit it. I'm not saying he's going to go out there, have 25 like your usual hard night. But if he can give you 15, nigga, like, you know, he already had, what he had, like eight assists or something like that?
Yeah, eight assists.
Yeah, eight assists. So he's going to get you and set everybody up. I think the first 10 minutes, I can't even say first 10 minutes because they had, what, a 17, 20-point lead?
They were getting their ass kicked.
They was getting their ass kicked at home. And it's just, you know, I just don't trust that team. I think it's a wrap. And even if Milwaukee finds a way to win, I'm not picking them niggas to go to Barclays and win.
No, that's not
happening. It's not going to pick it. It's just not happening. I think them niggas are done.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this one is over in six. If James Harden scores a dub, it's a blowout.
Oh, for sure. Right.
I think if he gets a dub, then they're gonna beat them by like at least 10 or 12. But KD took their heart, bro. Like that man played every minute of the fucking game. And if you Milwaukee, as far as where do you go from here, you really messed up when you fucked up the Bogdanovich deal, the bad guy. Because when you fucked that up, he was another person that could create for himself and get his own shot. And he's also a good 3-point shooter. You see what he does here in Atlanta. And so boggling that deal, you're gonna have to shuffle that roster because you got three big contracts on there now. So you don't have too many people that are, well, I guess I would assume everybody else is expendable, but you don't have too many movable pieces unless you're moving lower level people. And you know, in today's NBA, niggas not trading for White Dante, like
it's
not too many appealing pieces on that team where it's like, oh yeah, let me go get Bobby Portis. Like
The only way Bucks are ever gonna win a championship if you have like everybody's like, oh well, Giannis is a big man, okay? And like, oh yeah, play him like Shaq. Shaq had Kobe, Shaq had D-Wade, Shaq had Penny. Like that's every year Shaq went to the finals, he had an elite two guard. The only way I can see Milwaukee ever win a championship is if they get them an elite two guard. Like imagine Giannis with like Devin Booker or some shit like that.
I'm about to say Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal, right. Bradley Beal, that would be. You know, that would be a nice two.
I give him Chris Middleton and every draft pick available, nigga. What you want to do? Like,
yeah, for sure. That could work, but yeah, man, them niggas are cooked, bro. It's just, you know, Coach Bud better start updating his LinkedIn. The Jason Kidd rumors are getting louder. And what's funny about the Jason Kidd? I've never seen a coach who everybody wants to hire, but nobody wants that PR disaster to actually hire him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's just I don't know. As somebody who's a fan of a team who's in the Central Division. Fuck the Bucks. All them niggas lose. Fuck.
Yeah, it's over, and I mean, it's. I ain't gonna say it's unfortunate, but it's gonna be an interesting situation because I mean, Giannis signed his match, but we know how it goes. If he demands a trade and says I'm not gonna do X, Y, and Z, they might get him the fuck out of there. So.
Right, man. That's all we got on the playoffs. Let's talk about these all NBA teams. All NBA teams came out today. I got them right here listed. The first team, NBA All First Team, of course, the MVP, Nikola Jokic, Giannis is in there, Steph Curry, Luka, and Kawhi Leonard. Very interesting list. Second one, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Joel Embiid, Julius Randle. Did not have him on my second team, but Julius Randle, and of course, LeBron James. Third, Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, Rudy Gobert, Jimmy Butler, Paul George. No, Jason Tatum. No Donovan Mitchell, no Russell Westbrook. I love Jimmy Butler. Y'all know how I feel about Jimmy Butler on this podcast.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
This nigga should not be on this fucking team.
Yeah. And that's why, like, when it comes to a lot of these arguments, don't get me wrong, accolades definitely matter. But when it comes to fucking accolades that are voted on by the media that are clearly like narrative driven or, you know, popularity contests for the most part, you can't really take it too. You gotta take it with a grain of salt. So like you said, if I had the same snubs that you had, I would even consider. I know the Bulls were fucking trash, but if you're talking about just this season, some of the best 15 guys out there, you could have made an arc. Well, shit, no, Zach LaVine definitely had a better season than Jimmy fucking Butler.
Oh, for sure, nigga, hands down.
Like, so like you say, there were plenty of people. Jason Tatum had an amazing season. Trey Young, you know what I'm saying? There were plenty of players who we saw get left off all three teams that it's just like, all right, come on now. Like I like Paul George, but Paul George didn't have a better season than Jason Tatum.
Yeah, he didn't. And it's the thing is, I won't say Donovan was robbed because the guard position in the NBA is stacked, bro. It's fucking stacked. But Jason Tatum got me on that list, dog. Like, you know, and I know a lot of people say, oh, it's robbery that Russell Westbrook ain't on there. I mean, yeah, he averaged triple double fourth in a row, but no. I'm not, you putting that nigga over Steph, you putting that nigga over, you know, Kyrie and guys like that, probably fucking not. But my son Tatum got to be on that list.
Definitely, 100%.
That's the only issue I would have with that. But closing out, man, LaMelo named Rookie of the Year. He got 85 of 99 first place votes. The others went to Anthony Edwards, obviously. I love how the NBA has been doing these little videos to surprise the players with their awards. It was cool to see Miles Bridges surprise LaMelo with the trophy. And I loved his video interview with the Inside the NBA crew because Ernie was on there. It's like, you know, I don't know if you've seen him play, but you remind me of Pete Maravich. And I like how he was like, oh, my dad played all the legends for me. I definitely patted some of my game after Pistol Pete. You know, a nigga like LeVar. And by the way, as a LeVar guy, I love me some LeVar. I kind of feel like my man's kind of validated right now. He's kind of validated right now. He told y'all niggas what it was. And it just, you can see that even though LaMelo is young, he's a student of the game, and which is why I love seeing. And the same thing with Zion, too. Zion said how his mother used to make him watch Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and guys like that. Always feel like just with any craft, I feel like even if no matter what your age, especially in the internet age, study the greats. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Of any field you're trying to get into. So I love to see LaMelo do that. And hopefully he can stay healthy. I think, you know, they got something brewing out there in Charlotte.
Yeah, definitely. Sky's definitely the limit for LaMelo. And I agree because, you know, it seems like a lot of the NBA players are they do a complete 180 of what a lot of the young rappers do these days. And, you know, a lot of them really pay homage to the greats. And, you know, they say they watched them, they studied them. And that's going to be dope because you need that going forward. Because, like, I think I forgot who it was, but some old head was like that. He was like, every generation is going to build off what they saw.
Yeah.
And so it's going to just take the game to another level and that appreciation. But nah, LaVar Ball is definitely taking his victory lap. And if the G League ever gets out, once they COVID shit is over and LaMelo get LiAngelo gets a shot, I'm sure he'll find his way onto a roster doing something. But 2 for 3, because like I said, Zoe had an amazing season. And it's probably gonna get another. He's gonna get a big deal this offseason.
Hopefully with Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, hopefully with us. That is the goal. But it's definitely been a success for the Ball family.
Definitely, man. As we close out, the draft lottery is Tuesday. Our general manager Mark Eversley will be representing the Bulls. What do you think the Bulls are gonna look up and get a top four pick?
No,
you don't.
I don't. Cause I mean, I'm at this point with the draft and it comes to the Bulls. I'm done getting my hopes up with them niggas, so I just want to be pleasantly surprised. So
I don't have my hopes up.
This pick is going to the Magic.
I don't have my hopes up, but I'm telling you, frozen envelope. I'm going to go on record. I'm going to go even further, and I might be wrong, but I don't give a shit. If I'm right, I'm going to come on this podcast and talk shit. Not only the Bulls going to get a top four pick, the Bulls are going to get a top two pick. You heard it here. We got red and black skies. It's happening. The black man is going to give us the luck. Mark Eversley, the Bulls going to get a top two pick on Tuesday.
But gee, if they can get the number one pick and get Cunningham, then you got your point guard. You get your point guard on a rookie deal.
I like it. I love it. I love it.
Playing with me. See Look that? But see, that's, see, you fucking me up. That's why I said I'm not even going to get my hopes up.
I don't have my hopes up. They don't. This thing about the Bulls. If they finish like seventh pick, in, I'm fine because I have full faith that I believe AK is going to have a very active offseason.
Yeah, he's going to be hella aggressive.
I think this team at camp in September at the Advocate Center is going to be 75% roster overhaul, in my opinion. So, and obviously, I got high expectations for the Bulls. I don't want to fucking play in. These niggas better get a top six seed. That's my expectation for the Bulls next year. But we're going to close this out, man. And, of course, this is an early drop. We'll be back on our regular schedule next week, man. You can follow us on Twitter at BarChairScott, at OctoberZonte. My new show, I'm Not Gonna Hold You, is coming out next week. First episode will be dropping next week. It is a weekly show and studio show. We just shot the commercial today. Look out for that real, real soon. It's going to be fun. I'm going to do some ridiculous shit as much as I possibly can. We're going to have guests. It's going to be a fun time. Shout out all my homies at H&B Media. It's going to be H&B Media, Barber's Chair Network collaboration. Shout out to Baron Davis and Slick Studios. You know, it's going to be some dope shit, man. Shout out to everybody who reached out to me when I even just put out a picture, and that's not even a full set. That's just really like what we're using for the commercial. So shout out to everybody who reached out to me, man. I'm looking forward to doing this show. It's going to be fun. So look out for that. Follow the Barber's Chat Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chat Net. Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chat Network. Sopranos season 3 will be out this weekend. It might actually be out when you're listening to this. So look out for that. And we're going to holler at y'all niggas next week, man. Y'all enjoy. We're getting close to the end of this, man. Conference finals should be kicking off next week. So,
and real quick, G, before we go, G, make sure y'all go check out MLBBro.com.
Yes, sir. Check it out.
I'm featured every Sunday on it. I'm the Sunday writer. But we're really just trying to, you know, put a spotlight on Black players in baseball and let people know that there still is Black fans out there and really grow the game in our community. And so just check us out.
Definitely, man. Definitely check out my man shit. Everybody have a great weekend. California, I know it's the first weekend being open. Let's not go too fucking crazy. You know, let's. I'm still wearing my mask, by the way. And by the way, I want to give a shout out because when I went out today, after I shot a commercial, me and Pav went to go get a drink, and I saw people with their mask on still, which was good. Let's not be fucking idiots. So, all right, y'all, we out.